up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, and a good Tuesday morning to you, SB Nation AM. Ron Culver still on vacation as we roll along. Yeah, media days yesterday in both the SEC and the Big 12 got kicked off. I told you what was going to happen. A lot of coaches and players talking about how excited they are about the upcoming season, how much better they are in all sorts of facets of the game. Hey, coach, you lost five starters on your defensive front. You think you're going to take a dip? Nope, we've got great athletes. We've recruited well. Guys are ready to step up and take a play. Hey, coach, you lost a Heisman Trophy winner. Nah, don't worry about it. Everything's going to be awesome. It's exactly what you expect in a marketing scheme by these conferences to put coaches and players in front of the media to talk about the upcoming season. The goal isn't really to give you an honest breakdown of where the teams are going to be. That's not nonsense. What is at stake is selling your product. Continue to promote your product. Always be closing. Always be closing. That's what these coaches and players do. They're selling you their program and selling you on the hype that's coming with the program. Now, some teams are just hoping to get better. Some teams were lousy last year. Some are under new head coaches. Some are going to be looking to turn the corner. But others who have success are trying to convince you that success is going to still be had within the program because their system is still strong. Lincoln Riley of Oklahoma, for example, is going to have his third new quarterback this year. Who is it? He didn't exactly say, but I think we all know who it's going to be as Jalen Hurts, the transfer from Alabama, is in Sooner gear this year. But nevertheless, he was not willing to make a statement on who his starting quarterback was going to be. But he's also coached the last two Heisman Trophy winners. So you don't get the kind of news and information that you want right away, but you get excited for the upcoming season. One of my favorite coaches in college football is Ed Orgeron. I like the way he talks, but I like it because there's something about Ed Orgeron that just bleeds football. I mean, I don't know what it is. Maybe it is the way he talks. Maybe it's his coach speak. I don't know what it is. But I was listening and had it on on my television yesterday while I was doing some other things. And the enthusiasm he has for this spread offense that LSU is going to be using with Joe Burrow at quarterback, that's the kind of enthusiasm you want to bottle up and sell if you're LSU. He is genuinely excited about what Joe Burrow can finally do on an offense that fits exactly his skill set. We'll talk more about that coming up. It's SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could be with us, SB Nation AM, on a Tuesday. All right, sir, there are things in life that I think we all have that we get, but we don't really like, right? We understand why companies do certain things. We may not like it, but we understand why it happens, right? That's just part of the deal. And there's just this little tiny pet peeve of mine that it drives me crazy, but yet I understand why they do it. And it's all about coaches, especially in college football, where they feel like they have to use all sorts of coach speak, when in reality, we all know the truth, and let's just cut to the chase, right? You know, you hear, I complained about this at the end of the national championship game. Also, the Patriots, Bill Belichick does this too. This whole idea, like, no days off, and we're working, and we're always working, and you can't get us out of the film room. I understand. You have to promote an image of the kind of work ethic that you want. This is the program that, you know, we never sleep, et cetera, et cetera. We're always looking to get better, blah, blah, blah. But, it's all for show. And Lincoln Riley of Oklahoma is doing this, I think, with his quarterback situation. He's got Jalen Hurts, who went like 26-2 while he was a starter at Alabama. He won a national championship, but he lost his starting job to one of the more highest quarterback recruits Alabama's ever brought in Tua Tagovailoa. So he transfers out of Alabama. He goes to Oklahoma, where Riley has coached both Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray, the back-to-back Heisman Trophy winners. Again, this is a guy with tremendous amount of experience at a big-time program. I mean, he knows what the bright lights of college football are all about. But does Do they bring him to Big 12 Media Days, even though he was voted by the media as the newcomer of the year, the preseason newcomer of the year? No, they do not. Does Lincoln Riley name him the starting quarterback going into the season? No, he does not. Why? Because you got to earn it. You got to earn it with me in camp. Now, listen, I get it. Like, that's kind of something you want a coach to say, of course, right? But at the same time, what would it take for him to lose the job? You're huge recruits. I mean, they've got two quarterback recruits in Oklahoma's camp that are fantastic. I mean, one's a five-star recruit. But what would Jalen Hurts, again, Alabama starting quarterback, national championship starting quarterback, went 26-2. What would he have to do to lose that job? How much of a head start does he have over two young guys who are entering the Sooner program? Now, listen, I respect Lincoln Riley as a coach, and I think that, you know, maybe this is sending the right message to both Jalen Hurts and the other quarterbacks in camp, right? You always want to keep the competition level high, right? That's why I said I may not like it as a media guy, because I would love for Jalen Hurts to be speaking this week to talk about the transfer process, the expectations at Oklahoma, his time at Alabama, what he thinks about Lincoln Riley. I would love for him to be able to speak all on that openly. I think he has a pretty interesting story. And I would love for Riley to talk about his impact on what he feels is keeping the machine going at Oklahoma. I mean, they put up the most points last season, right? One of the most prolific offenses in college football. And now he's got a guy coming in from Alabama to keep that moving. But you do, as a coach, have a responsibility to keep the competitive drive of your players in high gear, right? So he obviously wants Hurts not to rest on his laurels, to keep producing, keep working hard to earn that job. He wants the two guys behind Hurts on the depth chart, in his mind anyway, not officially, to keep working so that they think that they could maybe break through, but also to show the coach that they're ready should something happen, right? So you want to keep that flame burning, even though it drives me crazy, because I think Jalen Hurts is the no-brainer starting quarterback for Oklahoma this upcoming season. I mean, the idea of this kid transferring into your program and sitting for some five-star recruit, some true freshman quarterback, is insane. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, if you can bottle up Jalen Hurts' experience and give it to every player, you would. Right, playing for Nick Saban, high profile, program in Alabama. You know, obviously Oklahoma's high profile too, but they haven't, they haven't played in two national championship games like he has. Not only has he won a national championship game, he lost one too. But I think the other thing that Jalen Hurts has that I would bottle up if I was a coach and give it to my players is what he had last season in the SEC championship game, right? When he came off the bench and led Alabama to a come-from-behind victory over Georgia. And he did it with all of the problems that were going into the offseason. Remember the offseason last year? Remember his father had said something about him transferring, right? There was this, Nick Saban had to make these comments about Hurts, whether or not he was committed to the team or not, right? But Hurts didn't say anything. And Jalen continued to work with the team and did not move. And we kept waiting, all right, after the fourth game, is he going to transfer so he could keep some eligibility? No, he stayed with Alabama, and he stayed right behind Tua, and he was waiting for his time. He played a lot in the fourth quarter when Tua was taken out in blowouts. And when the time came for him to contribute to the success of the Crimson Tide, when they needed him the most, he delivered. And it's a really good story. It really goes against some of the things I've been preaching for these kids, which is, hey, take care of yourself, right? I mean, you don't owe these coaches anything. They don't know. They don't certainly don't think of you when they go off to another job, and they certainly don't think of you when they move you off for another player. You know, if you want to play, you only have a certain window of time to play college football. Don't waste it playing mop-up duty on the bench. Kelly Bryant didn't. Kelly Bryant left Clemson as soon as he could so he could keep in a year of eligibility, and he went right to Missouri, where he's going to be the starter, taking over for Drew Locke. Now, this is something I've been preaching, but Jalen found something different. He loved playing for Alabama. It just wasn't his time. It wasn't his time to continue. He had won a title, he lost a title, and he also lost his starting job to a better player. And again, one of the more highly recruited quarterbacks Nick Saban has ever brought. So he could have immediately said, well, I'm in it for me. Again, I don't have very many years to play college football. I don't even know if I'm going to play NFL football. So I might as well play as much as I possibly can. Use this experience to play as much as I can. But he didn't. And instead, here's what he did, which was really incredible given how the story of Jalen Hurts played out with the Crimson Tide. And it's remarkable, really. Right? He could have been bitter. He could have been angry. He could have transferred. But by staying and helping Alabama beat Georgia to win the SEC championship, he has endeared himself to a fan base forever. Jalen Hurts can live in Tuscaloosa and live out his days as a just one of those great veterans of the program and could make a living doing anything, telling old stories about playing for good old Coach Nick back in the day and playing and winning championships, whether they were SEC championships or a national championship. And he did that because he was loyal to the program. And then when the time came, when he realized, okay, I still want to play college football. I don't know what my pro prospects are like, but I want to play and continue to play. And I don't want to be a backup anymore. Fans are okay with it. They're not mad at him or they're not feeling betrayed by him, which you shouldn't with a college athlete anyway, but I'm talking to college football fans who sometimes are overly fanatic. So you get my point. But they were able to say, you know what, go to Oklahoma, go play somewhere else. You did everything you could here, and thanks for everything you've done here. I think her story is amazing. But does Lincoln Riley say all of that experience, right? All of that championship, Saban, bright lights, all of that, that he's going to need to go to a just as fanatical program as Oklahoma. Does he say Jalen Hurts is my guy? Why wouldn't he be my guy? My God, 26-2. He is an accurate passer. He's played in the bright lights. He's played in the big games. He has tremendous experience. I absolutely need that in this position. We are predicted to win a national championship or at least make it to the college football playoff. We're definitely predicted to win this conference, and I need a true veteran quarterback to guide this offense, and Jalen fits that bill? No, he does not. He's got a redshirt freshman and a true freshman on the depth chart. And instead, he's telling Jalen Hurts, go earn it. Now, again, I get it. I'd probably do the same thing if I was the head coach, but my God, Jalen Hurts at Big 12 Media Days as the anointed quarterback would have been absolute gold for a guy like me. For a guy that wants to hear more about the story of Jalen Hurts. But it's a good problem to have if you're Lincoln Riley, where you feel like you've got, you know, a five-star recruit, it's a quarterback, right? You got these really, really good up-and-coming talent, but you got this also this transfer that comes in that has a national championship ring, that has an SEC, a couple of SEC championship rings, and can bring that kind of experience and that kind of knowledge to an Oklahoma team that's vying for a national title. Now, again, I get it. I don't always like it. 800-777-2907. Hit me up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. All right, coming up, some more information from SEC Media Days, day one in both the SEC, SEC Media Days and Big 12 Media Days. I want to include some of the other stuff as well. Some other nuggets. Also, we're going to get more into the, guess what was the big story yesterday as people were sort of digesting the news from the weekend? Yeah, that's right. That 18-game schedule proposal where you play 16. We talked about it yesterday. Oh boy, did this get really interesting. We'll have that for you coming up as well as we roll along on a Tuesday SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Colbert. Here's Tony D.
Hey, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. We're close, convenient, known for our guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So at SEC Media Days yesterday, there was talk about a new Florida Gator quarterback baseball player. Felipe Franks was drafted by the Red Sox in the 31st round of the draft. Get this, Bobby. They gave him $40,000, the Red Sox did. He was in round 31. He hasn't played baseball since his junior year in high school. But apparently the Red Sox got wind that the kid could throw. So he went in for a workout. Now he claims he threw 95 miles an hour in the workout with the Red Sox. So he got $40,000? They go, yeah, we'll sign him to a deal, $40,000. Here you go. If you want to play baseball after your pro career or college career, I mean, come on over. Play for the Red Sox.
That's incredible.
It is incredible, isn't it?
It is incredible. I mean,
it's amazing these guys, like, they're so good at being so good at sports that they're like, I haven't played this in a while, but yeah, I'll go out and work out with you. Oh, here's a check for $40,000. Thanks for signing with us. If you decide to play baseball. Frank says he wants to play in the NFL. I don't know what his pro prospects are. I'm not a good enough scout. There's been so many times where I thought, oh, that guy's going to make it, and he didn't make it at all. So I don't know if Franks has got the NFL genes at all, but you know, at least he knows that maybe I'll just go to the minor leagues and work out and maybe one day pitch for the Red Sox.
Yeah, I mean, that could be a possibility. I mean, you look at what we had to deal with in April about Kyler Murray.
Yeah, that's
right. A lot of things. Should he play baseball? A lot of people saying he should play baseball because it's safer. It's a longer career than playing a quarterback in the NFL. But he chose what was best for him. So I guess this guy, Franks, will take the $40,000.
Yeah, take the $40,000. Yeah, and he gets to keep it too, as long as he doesn't do any endorsements. According to the NCAA, you can keep that money as long as you don't do any endorsements or any promotional items for the Red Sox. He doesn't promote the Red Sox in any way. He doesn't get doesn't use that as a springboard for endorsements. That he can keep that signing bonus as part of being drafted by the Red Sox and still playing college football. It's so weird. I still don't get it sometimes. Like the way college basketball, for example, right? Kids go in to play at Kentucky. They play for 1 year. They can't touch an agent. And then if they do and they decide to go back, they got to make sure they don't take any money and all, you know, like they have to, all these rules are college football, but like a hockey player can play at Boston College, get drafted by the Islanders, and still play for Boston College. Like his rights belong to the Islanders, and he can still play college hockey. But in the NBA, like the NBA and college basketball don't have a similar deal. Like if you had a kid that you knew wasn't going to come out of the draft, but you wanted him on your team, you could draft him and hold his rights. And I know there's only two rounds in the NBA, and maybe you don't want to blow it, but don't they do that with international players all the time in round two? Where they just take a flyer on a guy from like Serbia? And they go, all right, yeah, let's see if it'll work out. Yeah, we'll do that. Like, if you got a kid who plays at Duke, let's say, and he's not going to come out his freshman year, he's going to stay probably 2 years, he's going to develop more. Why can't you draft him and say, yeah, and when you're done with Duke, you come play for us. We'll take the year hit and come play for us. They do that in other sports. They do that in baseball. Guys, you know, in college baseball, you see that all the time. Check media guides. Check the list. Rights belong to so-and-so. In college hockey, they do it all the time. Now, I may be talking in a way, I don't know how the arrangements are set up, how important it's set up, all that other stuff. But it's strange. Like, Franks can keep the $40,000 because it's baseball. But if an NFL team said, yeah, we'd like you, just go play at Florida for a little bit. Here's $40,000. You know, when you come out, you're gonna be part of our team. That's impossible. Like that would be breaking every rule under the sun. But somehow pitching for the Red Sox and a workout and getting $40,000, he's allowed to keep it. I don't know this stuff. Like it's so weird because all these rules are just different all the time. I think one of the toughest jobs in kind of the sports landscape is like NCAA rules infraction guy that has to monitor all this stuff. And you know, like if you say, okay, if you're a coach, let's say you're coaching the wrestling team at a college and you're like, I want to give my player a blanket because his house doesn't have any heat and he's cold at night when he goes to bed. Am I allowed to do that? And the guy goes, let me look it up. And he brings out the big book. He's like, no, you can't. Okay, I've got a player who hasn't eaten in 2 days because his dad lost his job and his mom is really struggling with medication. So he eats very, very little. Can I take him out to dinner? No. All right, I got a football player that is thinking about coming to play here. And instead, he's getting an offer of about $200,000 from the other school to go there. Can I give him $250,000 in cash in a suitcase underneath a table at a restaurant without anybody noticing? Is that legal? No, absolutely not. Like those kind of things. That would be a impossible job to keep up with what you can and can't do because everything's all wiggle room. I remember one time, I think it was Alabama. I'm not sure. Maybe it was Auburn. I can't remember. But one of those schools, there was an investigation as to whether or not a booster broke a rule by taking football players on a fishing trip on his boat on a lake. Like that's what the NCAA was investigating. Whether or not this booster took these kids out on a boat. Now, they were probably more likely investigating what actually occurred on the boat, right? Were they given a gold watch? Were they given keys to a car? Were they given a boatload of cash? No pun intended. But that's probably what they were really looking into. But nevertheless, it seemed really silly when the headline is, fishing trip may get X school in trouble. Right. It's just so hard to keep up with all that stuff. I've been covering college football for 20 plus years and I get shocked sometimes of what's allowed and what's not allowed. I can't keep up with it all. It's crazy. So anyway, Felipe Franks says could be a Red Sox, much to the delight of his head coach, Dan Mullen, who's all excited about his quarterback, who he wasn't excited with, by the way, last season when he was losing games and Florida looked like they were struggling. It wasn't until he turned it on late and turned it on greatly that Florida turned their season around, became a 10-win team, and now a threat to win the East from the Georgia Bulldogs this upcoming season. But Franks, it's funny because Mullen said, "Yeah, there's another Florida quarterback that is in baseball. You may have heard of him. Tim Tebow said that yesterday." And I'm like, yeah, by the way, we haven't heard much of Tim Tebow since he moved up to AAA. He's been like hit a home run a couple of weeks ago, but we haven't really heard all that much, Dan, about the baseball career of Tim Tebow since going up to Syracuse and playing AAA baseball. Listen, I still think the Tebow story is incredible. I still am hoping that he does get called up and play for the Mets. I don't care if he strikes out in 10 at-bats. I couldn't care less. I hope that the journey and the circle is complete. Because the amount of abuse he was given by those of us who thought we knew better, including me, and believe me, including me, was he deserves every bit of bragging rights he can if he makes it to the majors. Because I laughed hysterically at this story. I thought this was the silliest, dumbest PR stunt I'd ever seen. He's like, I haven't played baseball since high school. I think I'm going to try to make the major leagues at 30. Everyone's like, that's dumb. What a dumb idea that is. You're stupid. You may be a good, fun, Christian-loving guy, but that's a dumb idea. But instead, he proved us wrong. He actually is in the AAA baseball level. That's amazing to me. That is mind-boggling. He was an all-star at AA, and legit, too. That wasn't a publicity stunt to sell tickets. He had the stats to back that up. Now, he is struggling at the AAA level, which most players do, right? I mean, go around the country and find, like, the small-time high school baseball player that made it big, right? Signed with the Pirates, and then, oh, he's going to go off to single-A Bradenton. Oh, we're all excited. And you send him off, and you ever hear from him again? That's what usually happens to them. They get into the system, they play in the minors, they do pretty well, they get moved up, but then they reach a point on the way up where the pitching is really difficult to figure out. And they can't figure it out, and you know the career stalls and sort of dies out. It's got to be really stressful, too. Like, a lot of us are in careers where there's a lot of longevity, and we have a lot of time to sort of figure it out, right? I mean, if you're an accountant, for example, right, and you're like 25 and you just get started in a company, you've got like this long-term plan. Like one day you might be the lead accountant for the company and, you know, you might get that at 35, 36, 40, whatever it is, maybe at 30, right? But there's this long-term feel for your career. And when you get to baseball, if you get signed by a Major League Baseball team and they send you to AA or single-A, you better figure this out quick. If you want to make it to the majors, you better figure it out quick because the window doesn't stay open for very long. After a while, they're like, yeah, this whole hitting the curveball thing, yeah, that's probably not your thing. So bye, and then you're done. And that's it. You only got a couple of years to sort of make your mark and figure it out. So good luck, Felipe Franks, not only this upcoming football season, but in your post-career baseball experience with the Boston Red Sox. Amazing. It's amazing how good these guys are at stuff. Threw 95 miles an hour. Said he didn't even practice. Come on. Threw 95, didn't even practice. Maybe that was worth the 40 grand in and of itself just to see that. All right, 800-777-2907 on Twitter, @TonyDRadio. All right, coming up. Everybody is now buzzing about this 18-game proposal where you only play 16 as a player. How ridiculous is this? Well, we'll get into it a little more as SB Nation rolls along.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. All right, so NFL owners, let me get this straight. A proposal to change the way onside kicks are done to make them less predictable and more exciting and reduce sort of the immediate collisions of trying to get an onside kick, where you would say, if I want an onside kick, I have the ball. I have to get like 15. I have to go 15 yards. I have to try to complete an offensive play 15 yards. And if I do, I keep the ball. And if I don't, turn it over. And that's when the team gets it. That proposal is dumb. All right. Well, I liked it. I thought it was cool. I thought it was revolutionary. I thought it was neat. I hate the onside kick. I've said this before. I think an onside kick is the dumbest thing in sports. It never works, right? It rarely works. When your team, when you absolutely need one, it never happens. I hate it. There's nothing worse than when you're down two scores late and you're like, well, and they're going to go for the onside kick here. And you're like, yeah, well, might as well turn off the game because they're not getting the onside kick. Nobody ever gets the onside kick. It's one of those worthless plays in sports. At least you have a chance with it like fourth and 15 from like the 25 yard line. You're like, hey, I got to convert a 15 yard first down. I got to get 15 yards. And if I do, I get the ball and I can keep driving. Or if I don't, turn the ball over and the game's over. Fine. But no, the NFL owner said, nah, that's dumb. That's a dumb idea. We're going to keep the onside kick, a very predictable outcome. It doesn't change anything, doesn't revolutionize anything, doesn't change the safety aspect of the play. Nah, let's stay with this. But somehow, 18-game schedule with 16, a limit of 16 games per player, that's brilliant. That's one of the dumbest ideas I've ever heard. All sorts of problems with that one. And we highlighted that yesterday. All sorts of problems. Coaches who stay up all night anyway, game planning, are now going to figure out their schedule for, all right, this defensive tackle, he already played. Let's see if we give him the day off here. And we can give this guy the start, and then we'll bring him back for this game. And then we'll take the safety, and we'll give him the day off on this week. And the quarterback, he'll get off this week and this week. You got to have a guy that totally manages that. No, that's no problem. That's no problem. Why don't you just add like three more employees to the coaching staff to handle that load? Somehow that's brilliant, but the onside kick rule is stupid. The onside kick proposal was dumb. Nevertheless, boy, oh boy, are they hearing it. You go to any story where there's comments on this, like any story about this where there are user comments, it is flooded. I know there's trolls out there, I get it, but my God, it is flooded. Nobody thinks this idea is good, and nobody wants this as fans. Now, part of me thinks that this is a strategic move by the owners, right? Let's just get something on the table. Let's just do that. Forget the fact that this rule is ridiculous and actually wouldn't be implementable, and actually you couldn't even really get people excited about it. Forget it. But this is at least the starting point in the conversation. Because the one thing the players' side I don't think has ever made themselves clear on is if they were to agree to an 18-game schedule, what would they want? For the most part, DeMora Smith has said, no, we're not even talking about it. What about more money? No, we're not even talking about it. They are standing pat on the fact that this is not safe for our players. The addition of two games, with all the analytics and all the algorithms that we punch into a computer based on all the data that we have, the extra two games means a shorter career for most players in our league based on injuries and wear and tear on the body. That's not good for pensions. That is not good for the overall health of the game, bringing in personnel, et cetera, and salaries, building salaries up to a level when guys have more experience. We're not interested in this proposal. Now, I think in the end, they would be interested in this if a big chunk of the pie was given, more money was given to them, not just an increase in pay. Obviously, you get more pay when you play more games. I get that. But I'm talking about if they were to increase the overall pie that comes in, right? Right now, I think they get 47%. Let's say the NFL got it to 49% across the board. Would that be enough to entice them to play two more games? It's a lot of money, and that's a lot of money per player. Obviously, they get more money as the games increase, but they would also get a bigger share of the pie, so maybe the cap goes up as well. Now, expanded rosters. What about that? What if the league said, okay, we're going to have 18 games, but we are willing, because of the extra revenue, we're willing to give five more players per team. Expand the roster, I don't know, 57, 58 players, something like that. Right? Would that work? That's more union members. That's more bargaining power, right? Would that work? And I think that the 18/16 approach is what it's kind of been called, is nothing more than some sort of appetizer to get people to sit at the meal, right? Hey, look, we got some mozzarella sticks here. Sit down. Oh, yeah, those are not bad. I'll take them. Marinara sauce is a little cold, but that's okay. Don't worry, we've got some filet mignon coming along with some really good garlic mashed potatoes and a delicious dessert. Oh, okay, well, I'll stay for the meal. I think that is what's at play here. Because if I'm DeMorris Smith, I have no reason to give them 18 games without some serious consideration. I mean, not just more money. Like, if you're a player, let's say you're a player and you're not making millions of dollars, right? You're just kind of an average NFL player. You make six figures. You know, you're doing the best you can to sort of stay in the league. You know there's competition coming every year, but you've done pretty good for yourself. You still maintain a job. You know, you're never going to sign the big money contract, right? Do you want two more games at double, you know, two more paychecks, two more game checks? Of course you would, right? Of course you would, right? So you might be for it, given that, hey, listen, my economic stance in this league is a lot different than, let's say, you know, Drew Brees, who's set for life. You know, I really got to earn it while I can, because in a couple of years I'll be done, and then I got to figure out what I'm going to do with my life. So I'm going to try to bank as much of these paychecks as I can, invest wisely, so I have something for the next 50 years of my life. Now, you would be for an extra two checks, of course. But as a whole, as a unit, as a union, you could see them going, yeah, whoa, whoa, whoa. No, we're not interested in two more games just because it comes with two more paychecks. We have a lot of concerns, right? We have safety concerns. How does this affect us getting hit constantly like we do for two more games in the season? Plus, for some of us, playoff games, right? What does this mean in terms of injuries? What does this mean in terms of the dilution of the product, right? What does this mean for in terms of how much revenue you're going to get and how much you're going to share with us now? Is it just going to be, hey, I make $100,000 a game, so I get two more checks or $100,000? Or is it going to be, wait, instead of making $100,000 a game, I'm going to now make $125,000 a game because you're going to give us a bigger piece of the pie all the way across the board? Now there's something. You know what? If you're the players' union, what about this? Because I was thinking about this yesterday too. You know how these deals work, right? There's always concessions that have to be made. So if you're DeMorris Smith and you know that this issue has not gone down, listen, I've been arguing against this or for this in some capacity for the last 12, 13 years. All right. I mean, it's been around for a while. The 18 game proposal has been around for a while. This is nothing new, right? It peaks its head and then it dies, and then it peaks its head again. Then it dies. And then it disappears a little for a while when we get into, hey, CTE, concussions, these are bad. Is football dying? Is it on its last legs? Is football going to be outlawed in this country? And then it goes, no, let's not talk about 18 game schedule right now. Let's wait till this nonsense dies down. And then it does die down and everybody loves football again. And then the owners go, yeah, by the way, wouldn't you like two more games? No. Okay. And then after a while, it comes back. You ain't won 18 games? Maybe. Right? That's the cycle of this story. But think about where the union is right now. It has a lot of bargaining power when it comes to this issue, at least, because the owners really, really, really want it. And here's the other thing that they want. They love the idea. And I'm telling you right now, they would love the idea of being able to get most of the NFL teams into more neutral sites. More games in Mexico City, more games in London, for that matter. I mean, maybe a game in Australia, maybe a game in Spain. I mean, who knows? They would love to expand where they're playing these games. But if you're the players' union, what's an issue that you could put on the table that could really change the way the NFL governs itself in terms of the way it monitors players, right? Marijuana. They would love for the decriminalization of marijuana, if you will, to use that term, in the NFL. They would love for you not to be suspended for 4 games because you were tested positive for marijuana. Could that be a bargaining chip in the way that they deal with this kind of issue? I don't know. I don't know if those two weigh themselves on the proper scale. I don't know how many people in the union are that committed to the idea of, you know, emphasizing getting rid of marijuana penalties over playing 2 extra games a season. Because once you get 18 games, once you give the owners 18 games, you're never going back to 16. So you better make sure it's a good idea. If you're the union, you better make sure you're committed to it as they are committed to it, because you're never going back to 16. You'll never bargain it back down to 16. It's so funny when we talk about how much 162 games there are in baseball and 82 games are in the NBA, how long these seasons are, and how contraction might seem a little bit of a better idea. The NFL is like, no chance. We want as more of this as we possibly can. And I don't blame them. I mean, they got a very hot product, and I would do it too. If I was an owner, I'd be pushing for this too. Even if fans didn't want it, and even if nobody was really clamoring for it, I would be pushing for this too. But if I was a player, I'd be fighting against it. Because as a player, my well-being and how much I want my health, if you're going to take a little bit of that, if I'm going to take more of a risk on that, you better compensate me in other ways than just giving me an extra paycheck. I need to see that paycheck increase. I need to see the paychecks increase for my teammates and my union brothers. And I also would like a little bit more concessions on things like marijuana testing, on anything that I feel that the NFL does that I don't agree with. Maybe judge, jury, and executioner of the commissioner. Maybe get a better way to handle appeals in the NFL. There's a lot you can go to the NFL with and say, okay, fine. You want 2 more games from our union? Here's some things we'd like. Let's see where that goes. They want to get a collective bargaining agreement in place by September. I don't know if that's going to happen. It might not. I don't know. They'll hash it out. They'll get in rooms and they'll talk forever. I remember 2011. I remember thinking that we were going to lose like half a season. Man, they kept telling me over and over again, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad. They're so far apart. And then one day you wake up and they're like, nah, we're done. We're good. We agreed to it. So it's hard to predict. What I hear, they're far apart. Then I also hear that, you know, they'll probably be done by September. Who knows? 800-777-2907. Your thoughts on that as we continue along. It's Tony D, Ron Culver on vacation. It's SB Nation AM.
Kane is in the building.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, glad you could be with us, SB Nation Radio and SB Nation AM, as we roll along on a Tuesday morning. Ron Culver on vacation. Hey, don't miss the biggest pay-per-view fight of the year this Saturday night, Manny Pacquiao against Keith Thurman. This Saturday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, live on Fox Pay-Per-View. Order now. So the Denver Broncos are starting camp on Wednesday. Players and veterans reporting in. That's really early. Usually it's like the 20th, 22nd, 23rd, 24th. They're going to have rookies and veterans reporting in on the same day. First practices on Thursday. They get the Hall of Fame game, which is August 1st, which is still, that's early too. Usually that's like the 4th or 5th or 6th. So August 1st is the first preseason game of the year in the NFL. I'm looking forward to this season. There's so many questions. You know what I have lost, Bobby, in the last couple of years? I don't play Madden anymore, but I keep liking the stories of people's player ratings.
Yeah, I'm same here. Same here.
Like every year, it's the same thing. This guy's a 99. This guy's a 99. Somebody's mad he's a 92. Somebody's upset that they got the speed wrong. I mean, it's just, it's amazing how that video game has really changed the culture of the way we view football. And it's also amazing how young kids growing up playing that game know way more about football than I ever did growing up as a kid.
Yeah, I mean, when you spend hours and hours and hours in front of a TV screen and you see the same plays, you see the same things that you see on TV. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, a young kid growing up, he will probably have more knowledge than the average guy who watches football.
It is amazing because, again, listen, I mean, I don't want to date myself, but man, I played football. My video game football when I was a kid was the entire field was on the television screen. It was Atari 2600. Look it up, Bobby. Atari 2600 football. there was a, the whole screen was a field. The players were like 20 yards big, and there was three of them, and somehow we played. I don't know how it worked in terms of passing or whatever. But then there was a, they came out with a thing called real sports football. And real sports football was side to side. So instead of up and down, it was side to side. And the screen would scroll. But even then, you only had a certain number of characters, figures on the field. I think it was like 5-on-5. So you have like two guys defending receivers and three on the offensive line, three on the defensive line, quarterback. You could throw the ball, but they ran at the same speed. So if you beat out a guy, you could run for a touchdown. The only way you could catch him is if your opponent just got lazy going back and forth with the joystick to run. Like if he slacked off a little bit, then you could catch him. But you couldn't catch him because your player had built in speed. So I remember the first time I saw Madden, they didn't have the players' names. They didn't even have the NFL names, the first Madden I saw. You would be like the Steelers, and you'd be in black and gold, or you'd be in the Broncos, you'd have the orange uniforms, and you'd be number 7 or number 6, or you would be known numbers, right? And that was cool. And then once they kicked into getting the NFL rights and getting the NFL names and all that, oh my God, it was on another level. It was everything I dreamed about as a kid. Growing up playing video games as a kid, I wanted to be real players, real teams, real venues. Never thought it would happen because I was a kid. I couldn't imagine that it would be 20 times better, you know, in 10 years, 15 years, or whatever it was. I couldn't see that far. But as I got older, I did, and boy, it was amazing. So when you see NFL football players today complaining about their Madden numbers, like you're seeing some of the stories, it's a pretty cool thing. SB Nation Radio.